Okay, good afternoon, everybody. My name is James Bannon, and welcome to Data Center DSIM, whatever the rest of it stands for, 305, automated compliance, remediation, management, reporting, security, fun stuff right before lunch on day one, which means you guys are very brave. So thank you for traipsing over. So the thought process that I had when I was putting this particular presentation together actually started probably about 2 or 3 months back when I was doing a bit of work for a government customer who wanted a way to take the information that was contained within the Australian Information Security Manual, the ISM, which the Department of Defence puts out, and how can we take that information and then translate that into some kind of compliance baseline which we can then test our environments against and potentially remediate. Now, there is an equivalent one for New Zealand, which for some reason is a heck of a lot smaller than the Australian one. I don't quite know why that is. It's more like, don't be stupid, bro. And the two of them come together in the Australasian Information Security Evaluation Program. So there's some information about that online if you want to get some more info. Both of those are available as PDFs. Now, a lot of the information is basically best practice. It says if you have a laptop, encrypt it. If you need to give your admins remote access onto your production kit, don't allow them to jump straight onto it. Make them use a jump server first. Don't publish your passwords onto Facebook, you know, basic stuff, right? But because it's all lined up and say, okay, well, item number, 001 says this, item number 002 says this, what it means is that any organization can take a look at it and say, well, we're compliant against that one, that one, that one, that one we're not, but we need to do some work, okay? So the biggest problem that we have is that when we're using a tool like Config Manager to do compliance, because the Config Manager agent is very good at that, we have a disconnect. And the disconnect is that on the one side, you've got the Config Manager admins, and on the other side, you've got the security teams and the business managers, and they're the ones who are interested in the information. And the Config Manager guys are the ones who have to do the necessary work to get that information out, and they could not care less about the results. Okay, so compliance is something that SCCM does and does extremely well, but I don't know any organizations that are really making use of it, because the Config Manager admins goes, yeah, it's a lot of work for information that I kind of already know anyway, so I'm not that interested. However, the security guys and the managers, they care. So we have a disconnect. Config Manager is not a CMDB, content management database. And a lot of the things that Config Manager can do, when you start talking to various business units, they tend to get really excited. They go, oh, so does this mean that we can track licensing and we can track compliance, and does this mean we can do asset management? And it's like, well, kind of. Config Manager gives you an agent out onto every machine in your environment, and you can get some very, very rich information out of that, but it's not designed for what you want, which is a CMDB. So there is a gap, okay? So bearing that in mind, what I want to do in this particular presentation is break it up into two parts. The first one is looking at how do we get compliance information out of Config Manager, okay? And the second part is once we have it, how do we translate that so that it's meaningful to the people who are really interested in it? Because the Config Manager admins, it's not them. Okay, maybe they're interested in licensing, but the rest of it, no. It's really the business units, the business guys, the upper-level management, C-level execs. You obviously don't want to say, no problem, here is console access into the Config Manager environment, because first they're going to look at you and go, what the hell, and second they're not going to do it, and then they'll blame you. So not a lot of fun. So how do we get information into it? When we're looking at compliance, there's a couple of basic tools that you really should be making use of now. The first one is Security Compliance Manager, SCM. Is anyone using that now? A couple of you? Has anyone never heard of it before? ever. More of you. Yeah, that tends to be the case. It is a solution accelerator, which means it's provided to you free, and it means that you get the level of support that you pay for, which is none. But what this allows you to do is the security team at Microsoft generates baselines, very comprehensive ones, around a range of Microsoft products, Windows Server, Office, SQL, IIS, various roles, file servers, Hyper-V, and so on. And these can be extremely long, like a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand ISINs. And they say, if you want to lock down your environment, this is what we recommend you would do or you would apply. And it mostly tends to be in GPO format. What you can also do is then take that exact same structure and say, well, okay, the Microsoft one is really good, but it's not quite applicable for my environment for various reasons. Maybe I've got certain industry regulations that I need to abide by, or I can't enable XYZ because it's going to break everything. So it allows you to then customize your own, and once you've got those, you can then export those out and apply them as GPOs, GPO packs, put them into AD, or more exactly what we're going to do is put them into Config Manager. So if you want to take a look at it, that's where you get that from. Obviously, the URL is going to be in these slides. It's an easy tool to use, and I highly recommend that everyone starts making use of it. It's actually really useful in terms of when you're doing SOE builds as well, because let's say you're doing a Config Manager build, and you want the ability to deploy GPO settings as part of the build. What SCM allows you to do is to get your customized baseline, export that out as a GPO pack, which you can then apply during the build, so that as soon as your machine is built, it's already up to spec. You don't need to wait for it to talk to AD and to download all the necessary group policy. The next one is the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, EMET. Is anyone using this one now? Yeah? Has anyone never heard of it? Again, more hands, okay. I can actually strongly recommend. There's going to be a session by Chris Jackson, the App Compact guy, on EMET tomorrow at, I think it's 3:10 in New Zealand, 1 or 2. Strongly recommend that you take a look at that. Chris Jackson is an awesome presenter, except when he's talking against me, as he is at the moment, in which case he's terrible, and well done for being here. What the EMET toolkit does, again, is free, but it effectively it blocks exploit attempts. It blocks attack vectors. Now, this is something that you can enable across the board. Now, Microsoft don't do that by default because basically they run the risk of breaking everything and they're not quite keen on that. Okay, but what EMET does, it complements whatever you currently run, so it's not a replacement for whatever AV solution that you currently use, but it's a complementary tool. Again, it's free. And what it gives you is application configs that say, okay, I'm interested in protecting against these particular apps that might be running on my workstations, running on my servers, and I'm going to define that as an XML-based config, and then I'm going to roll that out into my environment. And it supports deployment via AD group policy, and of course, Config Manager. Now, it's interesting to note that when you look at the security baselines in SCM, all of them contain a part for EMET. Okay, so EMET, you can update your group policies to manage EMET, and the baselines assume that for a lockdown experience, you will be using it. So it's definitely worth looking at. And that's where we can get that one from. So let me kick across to SCM and EMET. All right, is that visible? I will use Zoom when I can, but the guys up the back, is that okay? Yep, all right, cool. So this is the solution accelerator. It's backed up by SQL Express or any other version of SQL that you may have. What we can do, when we open it up for the first time, it automatically checks for updates. Now, I don't have any at the moment, but when you install the product for the first time, there's a number of them which are not there. So SEM3 first came out before SQL 2012, Office 2013, and so on and so on. So the security team releases these, and SEM can then auto-update and auto-download. Makes it much, much easier. They also release beta versions. So the ones for Server 2012 R2 Windows 8.1, i.e. 11, were available in beta from about March or April this year, and then they've just been RTM'd. So if we want to take a look at, let's say we want one for Server 2012 R2, and we'll take a look at the member security compliance baselines. So I've got 419 settings in here, not 421, covering all manner of aspects of a Win server. Now, this is basically saying that from Microsoft's perspective, if you were running a lockdown environment, this is what it looks like. Now, this may not be appropriate for everyone, so what we could probably say is, okay, so it restricts NCLM, all right, no, I don't like that, so I'm actually going to duplicate that. I'll create my own baseline, which then pops up there, so it's available to you as a custom, and then I can go through and modify that. So I might change that, and I'll say, actually, I want to allow all, because that's what I want. And when I go through and I start stripping stuff out, adding in extra things that I'm interested in, or I can just say, look, the ones that Microsoft send me, I'm okay with those, or at least I want to test my environment against what Microsoft thinks should be a completely locked down environment. What I can do, go back to my baseline, my security compliance, and I've got a number of export options. Hello, where did that go? Okay, I've got a number of export options. So if you want to pass around, if you're feeling really, really cruel to your colleagues and you want to export all of those as an Excel and say, I'd love your feedback, could you take a look at this spreadsheet? They'll love you forever. Actually, if you work in a government department, they probably will love you. We can do a GPO backup, which means we can then import that into AED so that we've got a backup that's... we've got a GPO that is ready to go and just be rolled out. There's a reason why we don't necessarily do this, as I will address. SCAP, which is an older compliance method, we don't really tend to use that one anymore, and it's more common in the US anyway. It's not really an Australia or New Zealand thing. And the one that we're particularly interested in is in the SCCM DCM 2007 CAB file. Now, DCM stands for Desired Configuration Management, which was a big thing in Config Manager 2007. You don't need SCCM 2007 for this. The CAB file is, it works exactly the same in 2012. It's just that they haven't changed it here. It's interesting that in 2007, the D, desired, was really a furphy, because you could desire it as much as you want, but Config Manager was never going to give it to you. Okay, so it was more like wishful thinking compliance management, hopeful compliance management. It was never going to occur. 2012 changes that a bit, and you can actually do remediation. And the other thing, of course, we can back it up as just a straight SEM cab, so that if you've got a baseline that you want to move from dev test into prod, or you want to pass it off to someone else so that they can take a look at it, export it as that. It's ready to go. Okay. Now, with EMET, EMET is just a relatively simple installer, which I've got deployed out onto one of my into my entire environment at the moment. And I've got a basic config applied to it, one that was made available to me by Microsoft. And as you can see, it goes through and it looks at all the basic types of applications, or all the most common and popular types of apps, and then applies a particular a protection technique against it. So I, to be honest, I don't even pretend to understand what most of these mean. So that's why I will be in Chris Jackson's presentation tomorrow to learn what this tool actually does. But if we want to roll it out, it's pretty easy, because if I kick across into Config Manager, take a look at my console. It's under Software Library. Solution Accelerators. So there are two parts. The first one is I'm going to roll out the EMET toolkit itself, which is just an MSI. So I'll roll that out as normal. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to allow software inventory to report back on all the servers that have EMET installed. And for those ones that do, I'm going to deploy a config, which is just a command line experience. Okay, so it assumes, it knows that EMET is already there, and it's just going to roll an XML on top of it. So obviously by using the config manager approach, we can say, okay, I want an application config for this type of workstation or for that type of server, and you can mix and match. Now, if we kick back into assets and compliance, what I can do is in my baselines, I can go import config data, and then I can browse to the sections where I have exported my SCM baselines. So I've got a number of them there. And so say I'm interested in the IE11 one. So that's a 2007 version cab file, but it's ready to go in 2012 as well. I can just import that. And what we end up with is all of the config items that are related to IE11 and a baseline that contains all of those. And we're in. So from config manager's perspective, that's how we get our information that we are particularly interested in, which doesn't exist within config manager normally, how we bring it in there. And then we can make use of our existing infrastructure to get that out. So, more on Config Manager. So the items and the baselines are the basis for compliance management, obviously. A little bit of a definition. The items themselves contain the tests and the remediation actions. So I want to test whether a file exists, I want to test whether a registry entry is there, and some of them I can actually automatically remediate on. Okay. The baselines are the deployed items. So when we do a deployment, we're deploying a baseline, not an item. Now that means that you can add an item after you've already deployed a baseline out into your environment. Based on what's occurring in your current policy, agents then pick that baseline up, and they will test against it. And whatever they find, they will roll that back up to the config manager primary, and then potentially roll it up into the CAS if you have one. Out of interest, has anyone got a CAS? Is anyone running Config Manager 2012? Hopefully, yes. And none of you have got a CAS. Nope. Okay, that's about right. I've been using it, obviously, since it came out, and I just installed my first CAS a month ago. It's actually relatively easy, but it is overkill. And in terms of remediation, what we can do, we can remediate non-compliance of certain items. So if it's a registry entry that should be set to a particular value and it's not, we can get the CI to make that change as a remediation action. It can still do a report and say, hey, you're compliant, but you're only compliant because I needed to intervene. Now, some things like a registry entry that should exist, so existential rather than a value, you can't remediate that and you wouldn't want to. So to give you an example, I spun up a couple of config items around registry entries that should exist if EMET is installed. If those registry entries don't exist, I don't want config manager to put them in, because that doesn't mean that EMET is installed. That just means now that the registry entries exist. Okay, so I've basically shot myself in the foot by producing a false positive. We can also do script-based test. We can use jQuery, VBScripts, or PowerShell. Of course, everyone should be using PowerShell. That tends to be a lot more powerful. So obviously, you can do a registry check. You can check for services. Are they up and operational? Are they configured correctly? PowerShell gives you all of that ability. Any test that you run that is based on PowerShell, you can also remediate using a remediation PowerShell script too, which can be quite powerful. And of course, WQL queries. However, auto-remediation of existing systems is generally not a good idea. Why? Because you can break everything. So the customer that I was talking to, they were very interested in the state of the compliance of their entire environment. So we did the baselines, we rolled them out, everything was looking good, reporting information coming back. They said, but we're not going to apply this, are we? I said, well, no, of course not. Because if we did, you'd have to go through the change control of applying another, 400, 500 GPOs to production environments. Generally not a good idea, and you definitely run the risk of bringing everything to a grinding halt. Where it is a great idea is when you're implementing an OS or an application for the first time. Because then, let's say you're just building an SOE on Server 2012 R2. The design of the SOE can incorporate the baselines. So you know what it should look like but when it gets rolled out. At that point, you can actually test and remediate because you know what it's meant to be. Applications haven't been installed on it yet. So if a server is flagged as non-compliant, you do want it changed. Now, you may also then want to flag and say, well, what caused it to change? Oh, it's an application. Okay, fine. Well, I would rather that my application was non-functional rather than it comes along and modifies my agreed-upon SOE away from a baseline that everyone is happy with. You see the variation? What I don't want is for the SharePoint guys to come along and say, hey, why doesn't anything work on our server 2008 R2 servers anymore? And you take a look and it's because you've applied a GPO pack with 500 items and it's just gone and broken everything. You really don't want that. All right, so let's take a look at some of the config manager stuff. So we've already taken a quick look at the items in the baselines. Now, if I take an example, say, actually, let's jump through. So if we go through the Windows 8.1 stuff, this comes straight out of SCM. So if we take a look at the settings in each one, we can jump in and say, okay, well, that's my compliance rule. It's supposed to be, so it's maximum log file size. It is a VB script. So I can take a look and see what that script actually does. I could remediate that if I wanted to, but as you can see down there, no script specified. I'm just interested in finding out what's occurring in the environment rather than making any changes. Looking at SQL, everything that we do in SQL from a compliance perspective, or just about everything, is driven by PowerShell. Except for the one that I opened up. And that one too. Tell you what, let's actually look at one that I know is definitely PowerShell. So EMET, service-based stuff. So as an example, the SQL-based stuff, because a lot of it is actually built around PowerShell checks, there is actually a custom PowerShell module which Microsoft wrote. So a prerequisite to that is that you deploy the module out. It's really just a way to make sure that the commandlets run properly. So if I take a look at my settings here, so I'm interested in a few of them. Why does it do that? So I want to know if the EMET service exists, I want to know its running status, and I want to know its startup type. Because if any of those are not what I expect them to be, EMET has been rolled out, but it's clearly not functioning the way it's meant to be. So as a basic one, I can check, does my service exist? And this is a script-based PowerShell, or a PowerShell-based script even. Come on. And it's a simple one. It's just pumping out a variable that says get service, EMET service, and pumps out the name of it. So if that name exists, then we are compliant. If it doesn't exist, and the computer is part of a collection that should have it, then we've got a problem. Now, I could remediate that, and my compliance rule on that one is so that EMET service name equals EMET service, and that's it, simple one. The running status. So in this one, it's basically just grabbing that same service and outputting the status of it. Is it running? Is it stopped? Is it restarting? Whatever it is. Here, I actually will try and run a compliance. So if it isn't in running mode, I want it to run, or at least I want to attempt to start it up. Okay, it may not work, but I want to give it a go. So at that point, I run a little bit of extra PowerShell, run this script, because this is what I'm interested in. And my non-compliance rule for this one is, well, it must equal running. If it's not, it's non-compliant and the script runs. And finally, the startup type. I want to get the start mode. Now, this is an example of where PowerShell doesn't quite do everything. So if you run the get service commandlet, you can get everything that you need to know about the service except the start mode. If you use the get service, sorry, if you use set service, you can set the start mode. No problem. But if you run a get across that same service that you just set the start mode on, it won't tell you. So unfortunately, you have to go into the WMI to work that one out. Hooray. And that one, what it should be, is it should be set to automatic. So if it's not, set it to automatic and flag it, because clearly something went wrong. So as you can see, what we can start to do is to generate compliance info, but we can also get Config Manager to attempt a bit of remediation work as well. It isn't as powerful as, you know, SCOM working with Orchestrator, working with Service Manager, but this is stuff that you can do within your own environment. It is also worth putting together basic CIs that you yourselves would be interested in. So I want to take a look at all the services that have got startup type set to auto but are not running. Okay, well, that could be a problem. So I want to know about that. So I want to flag that as a compliance item. Okay. Does anyone have any questions on that? You're all very silent. Are you starving? Is that the problem? Are you going, God, this is boring. It's compliance. No? Good. One person shakes his head. The rest of you just look at me going, phew. All right. So, this is where it starts to get a bit sexier, he says as he takes off his shirt. We've seen how we can get the information into Config Manager, and then at that point we're going to deploy, the baseline's out, the agents are going to test themselves, and they're going to go, hey, compliant, non-compliant, and so on. You can run reports, which exist within SSRS, if you have a reporting services point. However, we're still talking about a non-business manager-friendly environment. Yeah, they can run a report, but it's Config Manager, right? It's a Config Manager report. It doesn't look sexy. It doesn't look like the type of thing that you would want to stick up on a presentation screen. So this is where we're going to get into Service Manager. The reason why, if you think back to that original slide where it says Config Manager is not a CMDB, Service Manager is. It is a CMDB. Now, Service Manager is more than what a lot of people think it is, which is an incident management system or ticketing or help desk. Yes, it does that, but what it is brilliant at is as a CMDB. And as Config Manager admins, we can actually leverage this to take the data that Config Manager builds, pump that out into where it's more appropriate, and then present that back to the business. And we can do it in such a way that it doesn't impact upon us. We don't need to give the CEO or the CIO access into Config Manager reports. They can access it in a way that they are used to and they are familiar with. So if you think back to the original scenario where we had the Config Manager admins over here and the security teams and the managers over here, and there's this gap in the middle about how do they get information from here to here in a way that everyone likes it, this is the way we do it. Okay, so first up, we have a basic Service Manager DB. This uses online transactional processing, so basically the same as the Config Manager DB. This basically means a high volume of small changes to the SQL DB. So read, write, change, update, and so on. High volume, not built for reporting. What we can then do is we can take that OLTP-based information and we can pipe it through some other inbuilt DBs and we can transform it into something that's a bit sexier, which is our data warehouse, which is online analytics processing. So we can take the transactional data and we can move it across into analytics. And the basic definition of OLAP is that it's a low volume of transactional processes, but the data is built in such a way as to enable really fast querying and organization of information through the data cubes, which are those funky little things at the bottom. So how do we do this? We do this because Service Manager comes with a Config Manager connector, as well as a Virtual Machine Manager one, as well as an Operations Manager one, and an Orchestrator one, and so on. So we've got our CAS, or our primary, from a Config Manager perspective, and over on the other side, we've got Service Manager. With the addition of a management pack, we can then establish a connector through to the Config Manager DB, and we can pull across software inventory information, hardware inventory information, and most importantly, the bottom one, desired config management, so compliance management. Okay, so even though Service Manager refers to it as DCM as well, that is really more for a backwards compatibility thing. It's still compliance management information. What then occurs, once the data exists in Service Manager, we can then configure a workflow action that says, all right, let's take that, and for all of our non-compliant CIs, let's then generate an incident for each one. So yeah, we are talking incident management at this stage, but for every non-compliant item within a baseline, a separate incident gets built. So why is that? Let's look at, say, you generate a Config Manager baseline that you're going to apply out to the domain controllers. Now, that might contain stuff around authentication, might contain stuff around networking, might contain stuff around data optimization. It's not a given that the same team is going to be responsible for every aspect of those non-compliant items. Okay, so maybe you've got a networking team and they want to know if you're planning to change bits throttling or thresholds, or you've got some application owners and they don't quite like the idea of you enabling a certain authentication type of only, you know, locking it down to NTLM v2, whatever it is, because that's going to break something else. So we have a separate incident for each non-compliance item so that you can treat each one as a separate case. So at this point, we've gone from a technology data input, which is our non-compliant CIs, all the way through, and now we actually have a business process. So even at this basic point, before we've even taken the CMDB into account, we have business information that is relevant to the relevant which is relevant to the appropriate business units. Okay, now even if that business unit is you and you handle all of it, okay, then yeah, sure, it's possibly overkill. But as you can see, we've got a transformational process occurring. And once we're down to this point, then we can start pushing that data out to the wider business. So, let me quickly show you how the data and the incident management stuff works. Not necessarily live, because has anyone used Service Manager? Yeah? Slowest console in the world? Yes, it is. All right. Okay. So, this is my Service Manager environment. And I have a number of data connectors. And the one I've hooked into is my Config Manager connector. So I can take a look at that. It's enabled. So when you build one for the first time, you can choose whether or not it's going to be a 2007 or 2012. What's the database server? What's the database name? What's your account? It's basic stuff. And then it goes through and looks at what collections you actually have and which ones are the ones that you're interested in syncing information through to. So you don't need to sync information about every collection in your environment. And what's the schedule that we want to run that on. Now, based on this, you can obviously have multiple connectors. So if you've got a dev environment over here, a prod environment over here, and something else running over here, Service Manager doesn't really care where they are as long as it can talk to them. And then, now, when we run a sync, in my environment, it takes about 25 minutes to run all the way through. It's not the fastest one in the world. So even though the sync schedule was set to a day, I've seen some customers where the initial sync can take about 2 days just to run through, because the Config Manager environment maybe has 50, 60,000 ISOMs in it. It can take a while to run, without a doubt. So you want to be careful of that, possibly not set a schedule for the first time, just run manual syncs until you know how long it's going to take. Then we can jump through into our workflow config, and inbuilt what we have is a desired configuration management event workflow. So for each one, what I can say, let's look at BitLocker as an example. So I can say that it's enabled. Which config manager items, so which are the configuration baselines, not the items, because I don't really care about those at this point, which are the baselines that I want to enact a workflow against. So when Service Manager sees information coming through from my Config Manager environment that is a non-compliant CI in one of those baselines there, it's then going to apply a particular transformational workflow against it. And in this case, it is applying a particular incident template. I'm only using a default. So the incident template is the business workflow itself. Who needs to know? If there's a problem with BitLocker, that's probably the desktop team, might be the security team. So I can email them appropriately and say, hey, there's a new incident. It's up and ready to go. And the person who's in charge of the desktop team needs to have eyes on before it can be shut down. Or maybe I configured the workflow as such that, okay, if you're just a normal help desk operative, you can shut this incident down. However, the user that it's flagged against is the CEO. So we don't like that. So I want some more eyes on. Okay, so the incident workflow, the incident template is where is the definition of how your business responds to a problem. So already we've moved beyond compliant or non-compliant, and we're looking at how do we respond? What's the appropriate response to this? And we can inform particular people about this if we want to. Email notifications, which is always fun. So once we've got that workflow flowing through and transforming our data, if I pop down into my work items,
slowest console in the world. Let me duck out. Hopefully you can still see that. So you can see I've got a number of incidents flowing through, all of which are reporting which is the particular server that is the one that's having the problem. And it's worth pointing out this, which is not fun. You see the column there, affected CI. When you're dealing with information in Service Manager, Service Manager is built on an ITIL framework. So the names that it uses are built around ITIL. Now, and that's a framework for incident management, service management, and so on. Config Manager is not built around ITIL. So in Config Manager world, CI is a configuration item. In Service Manager, CI is also a configuration item. But a Service Manager CI is any object that Service Manager can see as an object. So it could be a server, it could be a user, it could be a printer, it could be just about anything. So there is occasionally, unfortunately, a bit of confusion at the moment when you're going from Config Manager information into Service Manager. However, so what I have now is I've got my incidents, I've got my actionable items. I can flick open any one of these. I am going direct access back to my servers in Melbourne, so a little bit slower. And if this has been assigned to a particular user, they can start adding it up. So, and they can start fleshing it out, they can put some description information, they can see that where the source is, and the source here is Config Manager, what's the impact, what's the urgency, support group, are there any related activities? No, they're not, but I could add some in if I wanted to. Do I have any particular compliance errors? Well, yes, I do, but this template isn't aware of them, no problem. What service level, and more importantly, what's the resolution? So at a later stage, when it's fixed, guy can go back and say, yeah, it's fixed, and the reason was because when we built the VM template, we didn't set that properly, or the server wasn't in the right OU, so it didn't get the right GPO. So that the next person who comes along can take a look at that and go, oh, okay, that's easily done, easily fixed. All right, cancel out of that. So, the data is through, and we want to push that out to the business managers who are saying, so we did this expensive project around compliance, what's our compliance looking like? You don't want to show them compliance information from Config Manager, you don't want to show them, you know, the Service Manager console and say, yeah, just go and have a look at all the work items. They don't want that. Okay, so what do we do? Well, what we do have is the Service Manager data warehouse. So all the information which comes through from Config Manager, from Ops Manager, VMM, everything, has a data warehouse associated with it. So by default, we've got our standard Datamart, Config Manager, Operations Manager. Now remember, that is our OLAP data source. So it's designed for analytics. We can then pump the information out into cubes. There are a number of pre-existing ones, but you can also make your own. That's a worthwhile point to make, actually, in that when we look at where System Center is moving to, very much of it, it's DevOps. Okay, it's about, okay, this particular product does this much and this particular product does this much, but Microsoft hasn't thought of every single scenario that you may or may not need to use the application for. But all of them are built on the same tech, Windows, IIS, SQL. Okay, so you can, and this is the first presentation I've ever done where in order to understand what's occurring under the hood, I've had to fire up Visual Studio. Okay, but that's the way it's moving to. If there's a data source that doesn't do what you want, make your own. If there's a cube that doesn't do what you want, make your own. You can do this without impacting the original product, without changing your support agreements, without annoying the desktop guys or anything along those lines. So what you can then do is we've got SharePoint and running Performance Point. Performance Point is designed to look at SQL analytics. And we have SQL analytics in the form of Service Manager Data Warehouse. And we know that it is populated with information from Config Manager. So at this point, we can run custom dashboards or analytic charts against Config Manager information. Now, if you look at what Config Manager can do, it can't do that. If you look at what Service Manager can do, by defaults, yes, there are dashboards. They're ugly. And they're built on SharePoint 2010, and it's, yeah, bleh. You wouldn't go down that path. So why not abstract the whole thing out and leverage SharePoint 2013, which does not need to be aware of Config Manager, doesn't need to be aware of Service Manager, nothing. It sits on its own. It's a business solution. We can take those analytic charts and we can pump them out to our users who care about it as custom BI dashboards, custom reports. Now, if you're a C-level exec, this is more the stuff that you're used to, okay, of saying, I want to run a report, I want to look at analytical information, I don't want to go and look at a console. Okay? I should be able to do this. I can do it in financials, I can do it in HR, why can't I do it in IT? Well, now I can. So, last demo, we're nearly done, you've been very good. You've been very quiet. It's worrying me. Are you all alive? Someone laughed. Yes, they are. The rest of you are dead, clearly. All right. So this is my dashboard designer, which, even though it looks like it's actually Office 2010, did actually come from SharePoint 2013. So what I can do, I want to configure a data connection. Because I've got SharePoint running, but it is unaware of where my data actually sits. So I'm going to tell it. And I'm going to create a connection to an analytics DB. In this case, it's my analytics services DB running on my service manager instance. It doesn't need to be there. If you're finance application has analytics, if any application at all has analytics. This is exactly the same. So I point it to a server, I point it to the DB, I point it to the particular work item cube, and I nominate an account, and then I test my connection, and so, yep, good, we're fine. What I can do at that point, I can then create my report information as an incident, sorry, as a dashboard. Okay. Like I said, it's a lab environment, not the fastest one in the world, but it gets the job done eventually. But the point is, what I can do is that I can take all that information and I can pump it out to something that's a lot more meaningful. So that is looking at the number of active incidents for each item that I am assessing in my environment. So if I'm a manager, I'm going to come in and I can get a nice quick overview of which are the ones that actually have active incidents against them. And I know that this information is only coming out of Config Manager compliance information because I'm running that as a filter in the back end and say, only look at that info. You could change it and say, okay, I'm actually more interested in the stuff that is coming out of Ops Manager or the stuff that's coming out of VMM, useful for things like show me how much my virtual environment actually costs me in terms of per meg per day or whatever it is. Hopefully this is popped up. Yep. So at the back end of that, it's just a query against my analytical DB. Okay, it's a basic SQL analytics query. So you can see I've done a complete transform from SCM and EMET, so raw applications that you can get just at any time, pumping that information and enabling Config Manager to gather information about that, getting Service Manager to understand what's occurring, transforming it into business process, and then eventually outputting it as summary data that someone who is interested in security and compliance and needs to report that up can understand. And they can also, because it's running analytics, let's say you obviously don't want to give them access into the Config Manager console, but you can basically do an analysis against Excel as well. So you've got Excel, Excel services, that's pulling information out of Excel. Sorry, that's pulling information on the same cube, just showing it in a slightly different way. I'm using Performance Point. There's a number of other ways that I can leverage SharePoint to get that same information out. So, does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? Is anyone sort of looking at it and going, we start off in Config Manager, why are we in SharePoint? No? Okay. So the whole point of this, as I said, is because the people who are interested in compliance are not the ones who have to implement it. You've got Config Manager admins on one side, you've got the business on the other. You don't have, in terms of a Config Manager environment, you don't have a way to get the information from there to there. We have to pass it through an intermediary. This is something that Service Manager is very good at. And if you own Config Manager, you own Service Manager. And you own Virtual Machine Manager, and you own Orchestrator, and you own all the other ones because they are licensed as part of the suite. So I hope... Now, the other thing that you can do, let's say you don't want incident management at all. Okay, that's just irritating. You can plug the Config Manager DB straight into the data warehouse. So I'm not interested in incident management at all. I tell the data warehouse, hey, you get your information from Service Manager. Yep, you also get it from Config Manager over there and from Operations Manager. So I don't do any sort of business workflow. I just pump Config Manager information straight into a data warehouse and run analytics across that. That's starting to get more into the DevOps sphere, but Service Manager supports this out of the box, and it's a very, very powerful tool. So hopefully this gives you a bit of a sense that Config Manager, Service Manager, Operations Manager, at the end of the day, they're databases. They're databases of information. And you can take that, you can process it, you can change it, and you can present it back in such a way that, I mean, if you give your manager, you know, a nice shiny spreadsheet, then I love you. If you give them an Excel spreadsheet full of lines and cubes and stuff, not so much. All right, so that's it. Thank you. You've been very, very good. There are some extra resources which you can grab at a later stage. Fill in your evals. You may win. I don't know what it is you win, but it's normally something pretty good. And that's it. Thank you so much.